I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, baby!
Here we go, we're going live right now.
The Killer Bees are counting down to Texans training camp.
Here we go, tackle football, let's play.
With the top 10 storylines of the Houston Texans season.
Look around, go!
Rookies report for the Texans July 24th. The veterans report 2 days later, July 26th.
That's 5 days, Jeremy.
From today.
You're welcome.
Football season is here. Very, very soon we'll get kickoff of the Hall of Fame game, which symbolizes so many great things in the National Football League and in the sports world as a whole. But of course, if you weren't listening yesterday, where were you? But we're doing our top 10 storylines of the 2022 Texans season as we count you down to Texans training camp and the beginning of football season. Laremy Tunsil was a very popular name. He's been a very popular name, period, when it comes to the Houston Texans, right? How you acquired him, which you don't tell Jadeveon Clowney you're franchise tagging him. You just trade Clowney for Laremy Tunsil. But we know how you got him. Two first-round draft picks, throwing a third-rounder for good measure. That way you can get Kenny Stills, who was going to get cut anyways by Brian Flores. But I'm not holding any grudges whatsoever. Then you get him. He's protecting the blind side of Deshaun Watson. Well, great. Watson was not playing for the Houston Texans last year. Wonderful. Then he injures his thumb. Broken thumb, sprained thumb, whatever. He's sticking his thumb somewhere it shouldn't have been.
Oh, hey.
But doesn't come back when you thought he would come back. Basically says, you know, this thumb injury that I have, it's going to be a season ender. I can't come back and play. But then, okay, well,
how much? Jeremy? How much do you think you can't come back and play? Because
I broke this thumb in high school and I kept playing the rest of the year.
If I kept throwing cake at you, maybe you'd come back. Maybe you'd practice.
Cake? Is that a symbolism
cash.
For
you can be bribed,
hard earned money? Can I be bribed?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You think Tunsil can?
Yeah, I think everybody can probably be bribed.
Yeah.
To some extent.
That's the live tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But. In the offseason, he was a name. Oh, let's trade Laremy Tunsil. Let's get something back for Laremy Tunsil. Nope.
Let's extend
Texans
him.
Texans didn't do that. They said, no, we're not. Not only are we not going to trade him, we're going to extend the guy and make sure that we're going to keep Laremy Tunsil in the fold to protect the blind side of a quarterback. We don't even know who it is. So the question that we have, top 10 storylines, counting you down to Houston Texans training camp for the 2022 NFL season, is Laremy Tunsil invested, and is he invested in the Texans in the year 2022?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that from the standpoint of so many different ways that I could set a barometer for Laremy Tunsil, one, they've done enough to – it's like we were talking about with Verlander. I mean, a franchise has done everything that they could possibly do to kind of make sure that the olive branch is always there and they've taken care of you. But what he's shown is, just like we were talking about with Justin Verlander to a different degree – he's all about himself. If the team is in the playoff picture, if the team is playing good football and people are noticing, probably a good chance he's going to stick it out and keep playing. And if it's a nagging injury, he's going to play through it. If they're completely out of it and they don't look good doing it, he's probably going to pull up with an injury that's going to probably, in his mind, give him a free pass to sit out as long as he wants. Yet again, some people just don't love the game the way others do. And he seems to me to be a guy that is that way. Like, he knows he's good enough at this job that he does to be paid very well. He also knows that he doesn't love the game of football. He just loves getting paid the money. And that if there isn't any motivation there for him to keep playing and playing at a high level, then I'll sit it out. And because the Texans set a really dangerous precedent of basically bribing him to come back and play last year on a freaking thumb injury that was keeping him out of games, he why wouldn't they do it again in his mind?
Now, to be clear, not an extension, but a restructure. So Laremy Tunsil, like right. when he could be a free agent, still the same year. But basically, okay, we're going to take care of you. You take care of our cap situation. But he's back. Now, here's the question that I have for you. Because, look, I also don't think that – like, I think Laremy Tunsil is very good. I think he has the potential to be a top five left tackle in the NFL. And I think he is a top 10 left tackle in the NFL, even if he's not reaching his potential. Like, the dude's a good football player. There's no denying that. The question is, like, do you need a top 10, top 5 left tackle that's about to be 28 years old when camp opens for a team that's in this spot? What can you get in trade? We know the story. That's not going to happen at this point. But in terms of, like, what we see from Laremy Tunsil in 2022, because, like, the love factor, like, I don't really care a whole lot if a player loves the game as long as you're playing really hard and you're producing. Like, we know that Michael Jordan loved the game, obviously. But if Michael Jordan didn't love the game, I don't care. The dude's winning me championships. If Justin Verlander doesn't love the game, I don't care. The dude's winning me a championship in 2017. So, like, the love in the game aspect, I think you can get over it if you have, like, the right mindset. And, like you don't have to love the game to play hard and be very good.
The love of the game, as long as whether you love the game or not, you're doing your job, then it's acceptable. But if you parlay the fact that you don't love the game, and you've made it known indirectly with the things you've done in the past, and then it happens again, it can be a big issue. It can be a bigger deal. Because, you know, Lance is even talking about to the point when you're analyzing prospects now, that one of the factors that wasn't a factor previously that, and I think it's across all sports, is how much do they love the game? How much are they working out and working on their craft when no one's looking? It's one thing to say when the lights are on at practice or when the coaches are in the weight room, but it's another thing to say, hey, I got the keys to the weight room, or I got the keys to the practice field, and when no one else is there, I'm out there busting my tail because I love football.
But you can do that without loving football. You can do that because you love
you can,
money. You know what I mean?
It's not. I don't want to say it's
have
a rarity,
a motivator.
But it's a... It's not a common occurrence. I think you see a lot of guys that basically do what everybody that's required of them in order to earn their paycheck, but they're not going to do a single thing more than
no,
that.
No, I think there's certainly people that outwork other people, but to like for a motivator to outwork somebody else, a lot of times it is winning. But it's not only winning. A lot of times it could be, well, making more money. Like, I realize that I'm a professional. I'm at the formidable years of my life. I know that for the next 10 years, this is the best decade I'm going to have in my lifetime earnings. I don't necessarily love football, but I know that this is going to take care of my family, me, generations of my family, and that's your motivator to outwork people. So I don't think you have to love the game to work very hard and be very good at the game.
Everybody's wired differently. It's like you and I, to the level of competition and being competitive, don't even like to lose when we do competitions on the show. So some people, you might not love the game per se, but there's a competitive gene inside of you that says, you're bringing in someone that you think is better than me, or you bringing in someone that's going to try and take my job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm a competitive person. I've got pride. I'm not going to let that happen. I think other guys say, you know what? Until their checkbook and their bank account get to my level, been there, done that, but don't need to do it again.
See, a lot of times, too, that's not even the love of sport. It's the love of competition.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's
so,
what
like,
saying.
There's different motivators, and I'm not sure Laremy Tunsil has that motivator. I would say if there is one, it's probably the finances of anything. But as we look at Laremy in 2022, do you think we'll see more of a level investment than we did, let's say, last year?
I would say yes. I would say because he knew better than most with his NFL experience what a joke of a coach they had a year ago. He knows this year you got a guy you got to respect, whether you believe that he's the right guy for the job or he can take you where you want to go or not. You have to respect him based on what he's done and how many, you know, really good players he's coached that have gone to bat for him and said, this dude is solid. Mm-hmm. And so I think that level of accountability and respect is ratcheted up. For that reason alone, I think he has to change. I think he'll be more bought in.
See, I think we're going to see him play more games. Like, I think he's going to be more active in terms of, like, when we see him on the football field. But for guys like Laremy Tunsil, again, very good football player, you have to, like, keep him motivated. You have to keep him interested. I think Laremy Tunsil lost interest in Miami. I think he regained interest when he was playing on a decent football team, a playoff-caliber football team. He was protecting the blind side of a dynamic quarterback in Deshaun Watson. So, like, that intrigued him. That entertained him. That was a reason for him to go to practice every day and play hard every single snap. Last year, we saw that disappear because he's protecting Davis Mills, a third-round boring quarterback out of Stanford, who we're hoping can be a top 20 quarterback. He's dull. He's not flashy. Even if you're a Mills truther and hashtag Mills Mafia, I think you can settle with that, you know, that belief that there's nothing flashy about Davis Mills. So that does nothing to excite Laramie Tunsil. This Texans football team, you and I don't think they're going to be playing meaningful games in December.
Right.
We think they're probably going to be 4-13 for the third year in a row. Where's Laramie Tunsil's interest level for a team that's going through the dog days of November, December? Maybe he's putting on the pads, but I don't think we're going to see Laramie Tunsil invested in the Texans.
But he showed up, and he showed up looking like, and if you listen to Cody Stoops, looking like he was in pretty damn good shape. And he showed up, and to answer your question, Jeremy, because he knows it doesn't have to be here, but he has to prove to the rest of the league that he's still worthy of another contract. So whether he gets traded while he's doing this contract with the Texans, or he just sends the message, hey, I know what you've heard. I know what leaked out about what it took to get me back on the field a year ago and how much I milked an injury. But he's got to change that entire dialogue about him if he wants to get another deal somewhere else or play for a winner.
Another deal and play somewhere else,
right? Right.
And like the fact that he's going to have to put that on film is certainly something that exists. But Laramie Tunsil also kind of beats by his own drum.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN, former NFL executive and former NFL executive of the year. Also, the GM, we think, of the XFL's Dallas Renegades, Randy Mueller. Well, join us next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Dr. O and the people at Apollo Men's Health. They are absolutely fantastic. Sandra and the staff do a great job of making you feel warm and comfortable and accepted, and so that you can be honest with them to get the best results. What I'm talking about is from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, as you get older, you start to kind of slip up and not have the same results as you used to have. You don't have the same energy level. You don't have the same performance levels. You don't have the same attention level sometimes. And you don't think there's anything you can do to change it, and there actually is. What I need you to do is go to ApolloMH.com and see all the different services that they offer. Also realize that their first and foremost priority is finding a way to get you more energy in your day. Men and women, that starts with hormone therapy and the many different ways that you can get it and utilize it and make sure you're getting more out of your day. It also could be a workout program, losing weight or recovering quicker. They've got solutions. You want to get on a body composition analysis and be able to chart your results every couple of weeks to see how your weight is going down, your muscle is going up, all the different levels and all the different numbers that are very important to you. They've got that too. They've got two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston, with one coming in the League City area by the end of August. And basically, they're focused on taking care of their patients. Go to ApolloMH.com. Book that first appointment. Mention my name. Get a free body composition analysis or a free B12 shot on your first visit. I get a B12 shot every week for energy. I feel like it has made a big difference. And I can feel the difference on an energy level from week to week. Check them out. Talk to them. Tell them your goals and where you want to go. They'll put you on a plan that'll get you there. They're good people doing great things. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line, where we're joined by Randy Mueller, the 2000 NFL Executive of the Year, going to be a GM in the XFL as well. Randy, correct me if I'm wrong, Dallas Renegades, right?
No, not me, not Dallas, I don't think anyway. I guess that'll come out this week. But
oh, you haven't
I'm
been told
Northwest
yet?
Guy.
So you haven't been told where you're going yet? You know that you're going to be a GM in the XFL.
Publicly, we have not been told. I'll just stick to that.
You can let us know. No one's listening. Well, congratulations.
Everyone's listening, so when you are ready to spill the beans, we're here for you.
Well, I had a great time with the Roughnecks. It is something I'll always remember, even after a 35-year NFL career. It was awesome.
We'll be rooting for you wherever you land, Randy, even if you don't want to break it here on the Killer Bees.
You didn't like your play-by-play guy for the Roughnecks, but other than that, you had a great experience. We understand that.
Randy, we're just awesome. A few days away from rookies reporting. Some rookies have already reported for some teams. Veterans will come soon after that. Life as an executive in the NFL, what are these days like leading up to training camp opening and then those first few days of training camp?
Well, I think most teams have a little contract house cleaning to do. That's always been the case, even though I would say nowadays the rookie deals are pretty much boilerplate slotted deals. So those used to carry us into training camp in most regards. I was always one of those guys that was never really fully happy with our team. So I was always still grinding these last few days trying to find a veteran or two that we could sign that maybe doesn't make our team initially, but can be taught the system to where we can then call them back when we have an injury in October or November. So I always like to stockpile a few veterans so they get a little jump on replacement parts down the road, if you know what I mean.
Well, and I was going to ask you that too, Randy. I mean, in terms of the hot zones, when everybody is talking to players, in most people's perception, that's already over with and teams have gotten the players that they needed. But I look at a team like the Packers, who I follow religiously, or other teams that lost key veteran players at different positions, and think, is there still a chance, like for Green Bay, to get someone that could at least try and replace Devontae Adams as a veteran receiver? You know, are there teams out there where they lost a good player that to free agency or a trade or otherwise, that to say that there's still guys that are out there on the market to where I might be able to pick up a guy between now and the start of camp?
Yeah, I think there are. There always are every year. But the downside to that is you have a young guy in place that maybe you drafted that you hope can get the reps during camp. So these veteran players, you might strike a deal with one, but hey, stay home for a couple weeks, stay home for 3 weeks. You know, let me get these young guys all the reps they need, and you can come that last couple weeks of preseason. So there's different philosophies, different calendars that people work off of, but you can still find it. It's a buyer's market right now. You're right. The bidding wars are over. So guys that don't have jobs right now are probably most, for the most part, minimum salary guys. So again, set it up for down the road, get a guy the right reps as a young guy, and then bring in a veteran later on.
Randy Mueller, our guest on the HRMP guest line, former NFL Executive of the Year. Looking league-wide, some of the storylines, at least from my point of view, the one that stands out, and I think it has local angle too, of course, Deshaun Watson. If you're the Cleveland Browns general manager, there's uncertainty what Deshaun's going to get. Two-game minimum we've seen. We've seen his maximum of a year long. Jacoby Brissett right now is the understudy for Deshaun Watson. How would you handle that situation from a roster-building point of view?
Well, I think if they signed Jacoby Brissett when they did, I think they had to feel comfortable with him being the starter. They had to realize that they were going to not have Deshaun for X amount of weeks, maybe the year. So I think they feel pretty good about Jacoby Brissett. Probably what they're doing is chumming the waters for a third or a fourth, somebody else they can bring in later on. I think that's the key, is to have a replacement. What happens if Jacoby Brissett goes down? That would be the next thing you'd want to get a jump on finding. So I don't know who their third guy is off the top of my head, but I would be, you know, looking at the veteran quarterbacks that are still on the street. Maybe it's a Josh Rosen. Maybe it's somebody like that has experience but could come in and be a third in case something happens to Jacoby Brissett. I don't think you're going to find a starter in this day at this point in time, that's for sure.
Well, Randy, staying on the quarterback situation, I'm curious what your thoughts are about what's going on in San Francisco, because you got a guy in Trey Lance that they actually spent a lot of assets to go get, that they believe is their quarterback of the future. Now, whether you believe the stories you hear or not, he's not ready. He hasn't shown them in practice. All those different things. So then, instead of saying, hey, look, we've got a Super Bowl caliber roster everywhere else, we could keep both of these guys. It seemed to me to make logical sense to keep Jimmy G around, but every time you hear them talk, it's like, hey, he's still available. We're still planning on trading him. He's just got to get healthy. And to me, it's a little bit mind-boggling in the fact that you're letting your locker room down if you trade a guy that took you almost to the Super Bowl a year ago, when you don't know what you have in Trey Lance, when the rest of the roster is Super Bowl ready.
I couldn't agree more. I've kind of been on an island on this one. I thought all along that it makes no sense to trade Jimmy G. I thought they should keep him, let him have the job until Trey Lance takes it from him, instead of just handing the reins over to Trey Lance. I was one of those who thought Trey Lance was a year away from being a year away, if that makes any sense. So I think you're right. I would have a hard time if I was John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan, looking those other veterans in the eye and saying, hey, we're gonna do this or we're going to do that without Jimmy G, because you're right. This team is built for now. The other thing is, I don't know where the market for Jimmy G is. I mean, there's a $25 million base salary that comes with him. Who's looking for that? Nobody at this point. So I don't know if they're going to be able to trade him. I don't know that that's the case. Maybe if they release him, there's a little bit of a market for him. I know there's some people in Seattle that are kind of looking, maybe hoping for that. But I don't see a market for Jimmy G right now. I really don't. Maybe if somebody gets hurt during preseason, there's a possibility. I don't. I've always said, hey, I'm not into getting rid of good players. Let's hang on to as many as we can. And I would think they have had plenty of time to plan for keeping him in a last case scenario. So it'll be interesting to follow.
There are a couple of veteran free agents that are out there at the wide receiver position that I find interesting. One, a lot of people feel is washed with Julio Jones. He still doesn't have a team. Of course, didn't have a great year last year with Tennessee. The other one, though, after Cleveland got rid of him, was very good. Odell Beckham Jr., of course, tearing up his knee in the Super Bowl, but a free agent. What do you think the mindset is for Beckham Jr.? Do you think he's waiting for an opening middle of the season? Do you think he signs during camp? And if you're a GM for a playoff contender, you anticipate being a playoff team. Maybe you need a little bit of an upgrade at wide receiver. You think you can upgrade there. At what point of the season, what would be the calendar like on kicking the tires on an Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think you're going to have to push that off just because of the injury. I don't see him being a factor, at least the first half of the year. So sometime between November 1 and Thanksgiving, I think you kick the tires on Odell. Again, it's a long comeback from ACL injuries. I know we have modern-day medicine and people think they come back. It's as much a mental hurdle to get over as it is physical. So I don't think he's factored into anybody's planning until maybe November. And then you're going to bring him in and see what he's like and work him out. I just think there's a long ways to go before now and then. And to sign him now really is fool's gold because you don't know when you're going to get him.
From a Texans perspective, Randy, I'm curious, you know, how you'd handle it as a general manager. I think Nick Caserio has handled it really well to this point. But I think, obviously, the fan base always wants you to win, and they want you to win every year. But we've had the discussion over and over again about following and sticking to your plan. And basically, Caserio setting it up by saying, we're not going to be judged by wins and losses this year. We're going to be judged by the progress that we're making with our roster, with our draft picks, and we're not going to kind of think out of the box too far for that. What are your thoughts on, like, a team that gets off to a hot start or, you know, when you get to a standpoint where maybe this team jumps out and gets a couple wins you weren't expecting early and how that can possibly take you off your long-term plan of sustainable winning?
I don't know Nick Caserio well, but I do know this. He seems conviction. He has conviction for his ideas and his plan and his philosophy, and I totally agree with that. I don't think if they won the first three or four games, it's going to change his plan for the long haul. They've got to, again, show progress. They've got to be competitive week in and week out. They've got to develop Davis Mills to the next level. There's a lot of things that I agree with that he's done and is saying that I would surely do the same. So I think you've got to tamp down a little bit of expectation, but you've got really another year to build this up after the Deshaun wasted year last year. So it'll be interesting. I agree with his philosophy. I agree with the decisions that he's made so far. I just think they've got to continue to develop young, ascending talent to compete on a week-to-week basis, and that's probably the scale he should be judged on.
As a GM, is there any scenario where you don't look at and think quarterback next draft, no matter what Davis Mills does this year?
Oh, I think it's all dependent on what Davis Mills does. But look at it this way. The worst should be behind Davis Mills. That should be the worst you get. So now, go looking forward, take the next step. Let's just see if he can do it. I think their plan is to make sure that he does it, surround him with the right players, and in year three, he's well down the learning curve and has things sorted out. So I think they were able to keep enough continuity within their staff that he should be much better shape this year. He can actually progress his trade instead of memorizing a system, per se. That's the next step when a quarterback develops on a learning curve, is he's got to develop some of these skills instead of just memorizing a playbook. And that's hard, but it's a hard process for fans to like and a hard process for media to like, especially, but I think it has to happen.
Randy, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to hang out with us. Great insight, as always. We'll be keeping our eyes peeled to see where you end up. And, of course, best of luck. Hope to catch up again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy it.
You got it. Randy Mueller, future XFL general manager, a mystery team that is out there. You want to make sure you're tuning in to see where he goes. What he had to say about Caserio, though, he will not budge from his plan. What would it take for Caserio to budge from his plan? And also, what is the ownership pressure like, too? Because a lot of times that can lead you to budging from your plan. One thing I will not be budging from is that I want to have some gin or bin tonight. Vodka, gin, bourbon, that's still a decision that I have to make. I haven't made that decision yet. I think I'll get home. I'll go take out all three of them, and I'll look at them very, very closely and try to decide in that moment. But I know that all three are very, very good. Gin or bin, a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that's better in purity. It's better in aroma. It's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Bend, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Bend. Compare it to your brand. You're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, A&M class of 85, by the way, had me out to his tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since then, I've been a Gentle Bend man. It is so smooth. It is so clean. And it eliminates that burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Bend Vodka and Gin, Total Wine, and Specs also online at gentlebend.com. If you want to try that bourbon, it's exclusive only to the tasting room in Alvin. 94-proof bourbon. It was the winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year, exclusive to the tasting room in Alvin. Also, Gentle Bend is holding a brown water event this Saturday. It's a fundraising event benefiting wheelchairs for warriors. Great, great event. Dan Pastorini will highlight a tremendous guest list. Take in some live music, have some cocktails, all for a good cause. That's this Saturday at Gentle Bend. You can find out more at gentlebend.com. Gentle Bend, the union of tradition and invention.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Just had Randy Mueller on, who's going to be a GM of an XFL team not named the Dallas Renegades. Former NFL Executive of the Year. A lot of interesting stuff that he had to say, especially about some of the NFL quarterbacks and the quarterback carousel that's still going on maybe in the NFL, even though camp is opening up. But what I wanted to get to with what he had to say, Caserio will not budge from his plan. That to me is refreshing for a rebuild. Like, the worst thing that you can do in a rebuild, if you're hitting on picks, that sort of thing, like that's required for you to have a successful rebuild, is to get impatient in said rebuild and start looking ahead at the future when you're not looking ahead at the future. So I love the fact that Nick Caserio is not going to budge from his plan. Like, if they start 4-3, like, he's not going to trade a future first for Odell Beckham. I know that's a terrible example, but you catch my drift. That he's not going to be fooled based on what could be a skewed 4-3 start through 7 games because you play one of the worst schedules in the NFL and one of the worst divisions in the NFL.
I think the only way it makes sense for him to somewhat kind of waver from the plan would be to get the best of both worlds. Get an impactful player for the here and now that's still young enough and good enough that can be an impactful player for you for years to come. And those are so rare and hard to find. It's like when we're talking about in baseball, when you talk about a Juan Soto, you're talking about a guy that's still young and impactful and could be your franchise player, but also he could blow everything up that you've worked to this point to get to because of what you have to give up to get him. Mm-hmm. It's different if it's a free agent and you're willing to start going into the market and spending. But if you get a scenario where you're 4-3 and you sit there and you say, well, the only thing that makes sense to me right now would be to get someone that's young and fits our plan and our system that can help us this year in the short term, but more so can be a big player for us in the future. But guess what? Teams that are rebuilding, those are the players they're hanging on to. Those aren't the players they're kicking to the curb.
See, this is where Cool Cat Cal comes into play here, though. Because, like, a general manager, I think most NFL general managers, and, like, this isn't, like, a bulletproof 100% of the time, but most general managers, whenever they take over a job where it needs to be rebuilt, they know what to do. They know what's required. They know that they have to hit on draft picks, and they have to be slow, and they have to be patient. And maybe you can get back to the playoffs in 3-4 years, but a lot of times what takes them off of that and why they budge from their plan is because the ownership starts to turn on the heat. Like Dave Tepper, if we use Carolina as an example, they're turning up the heat on Matt Rhule. They didn't think Matt Rhule would last after last season. A lot of people look at Matt Rhule as a make or break season. So, like, they traded for Baker Mayfield. They didn't give up a whole lot. But does that really help the long-term good and gain for Carolina? No, probably not. So, like, I look at the Texans situation and, like, I'm going to give compliments to Cool Cat Cal. And this might not even be because he's trying to do this. It might just be like a, you know, because of the circumstances. But Cool Cat Cal McNair is not going to turn up the heat on Nick Caserio. No. He's going to be patient and allow Nick Caserio to do it the right way. So it might just be a coincidence, but I find it to be a positive thing from Cal McNair.
Well, I think Cal McNair's been called a lot of things in this this world. Cool Cat Cal is one he'll accept, but even if you want to get down to the point of saying that he has to be patient, that's something that he has never had a problem doing.
No.
Slow. That's not something that he's never had a problem doing.
That's mean.
I mean,
tad rude.
I like to think that I am slow, calculated, And sometimes, darn it, just good enough to be accepted. And that's what I want. Jeremy calls me cool cat Cal, and that makes me happy. Let's play video games.
Sometimes borderline racist as well.
I like River Oaks Country Club. I just didn't know people can record that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I'm saying.
Look at the leash he's given Easterby. Like,
look at all of them. Like, the fact that most owners would lose their bleeping minds how that coaching search has gone 2 years in a row.
Right.
And who you hired the first time and who you almost hired the second time and all of the just you couldn't have done wrong any better than you did until it kind of settled in and handled itself for you. I think that most owners would have flipped out. Cal basically is hands off. Cal basically has shown support. But because of the contract Caserio has in specific, there's no way he's going to do anything with him anyway. So he's basically saying, look, I got to let the guy do what he's supposed to, what I hired him to do, because I'm not going to get rid of him, pay him, and pay another one, too.
Yeah. See, I don't think Cal's cheap, but I believe
he's going to. No, but he doesn't want to pay two guys for the same job.
He's paid the head coach multiple times. Like, he's paying, what, three head coaches? Bill O'Brien, David Culley, Lovie Smith.
Currently?
Yeah, I think Bill O'Brien's still currently making some bucks off of Cool Cat Cal. We know he's paying at least two, David Culley. I mean, David Culley had, a four-year deal whenever he signed? Five-year deal? Which, why are you giving that guy 4 or 5 years? You were competing against nobody.
There's a bit of discrepancy in terms of how many years he gets.
I think he's more foolish than wise, right? Like, cheap. I think he's more foolish than cheap.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, 100%. He'll carelessly spend money that turns out it's dead money. Like, paying David Culley last year, this year, going forward, until his contract is up, is dead money. It's foolish money, but he's been willing to spend. Like, I look at it from a Caserio perspective, and a lot of people are like, why would Nick Caserio, a well-respected NFL guy, coming from the Patriots, go to that dumpster fire that is the Houston Texans? What other owner in the NFL would give you the runway that Nick Caserio needs to build this back up? And I use Jack Easterby as that example. This dude defended Jack Easterby, who is not a focal piece of this organization when you talk about value. He doesn't bring value to the football field, the 53-man roster, the overall betterment of the organization. Everybody wants him to be fired. He's been blamed for tons of different things. Cal McNair still employs that guy. He is loyal to a fault.
What other owner is going to give the reins to someone else and not still have a voice in the room? I mean, you can go up and down the list of owners in the NFL, and even a team like the Packers with, owned by the people with a board of directors. That board is still involved in every decision the franchise makes. There's no way that a Jerry Jones or a Dave Tepper or you can go Davis. Right up and down the list, up and down the list from Jacksonville to Chicago and everywhere in between.
Yep.
They're going to give you some power, but they're also not going to give you total control. Yeah, they're going to have a voice in the room.
Exactly. I think that, I understand that there is a lot of bad things associated with the Houston Texans organization. How Bill O'Brien made a bunch of really bad trades. Jack Easterby in the past. I don't know if he's much of a factor now. I think that's a debate to be had for a different day. The Deshaun Watson saga. He demanded a trade before even the civil stuff came out. Like, there's been a lot of bad. There's been a lot of reasons why the Houston Texans have had their lowest PR and their lowest approval rating in the two decades of the franchise. But if I'm a general manager and I don't have any ties to the city of Houston, and I'm looking for one money, because Cal gave you that, long-term security, and the runway to literally do whatever you want, have all the power, and you're not going to hear a word from me, what better situation is there to be in than the Houston Texans? I don't think it
no
exists
question.
In the NFL.
I think there's many a general manager in the league, just from the standpoint of the heat that they face on a daily basis with every decision that they make, that looked at the situation that Nick Caserio walked into going, why couldn't I have gotten that deal too? Mm-hmm. Because if you could take the over the shoulder grinding every single day by ownership and the fact, the meddling and the opinions that have to be heard.
It's a positive.
You look and it's not just about Nick Caserio. You think about what he did with Bill O'Brien, and he let Bill O'Brien trade the best receiver in football
and didn't meddle at all
for a bag of soup.
Maybe should have meddled.
There are people that still to this day question whether he even knew at the end of the day that the deal was going to go through.
Is that a positive or a negative? That he is unwilling to meddle at all costs, to all extremes.
I think it's a positive if you've got a guy that you have 100% trust in that knows football from a general manager's perspective. Yep. I think it's a negative. You got a guy like Bill O'Brien trying to be someone he's not.
And like Bill O'Brien was trying to win now.
And then save your ass.
Exactly.
Because Matt Rhule is doing what Bill O'Brien did. And that is, which they just went through with Nagy and the Bears too.
Yep.
As long as the ownership's giving me some leeway, I'm going to do what I need to do to kind of deal with the here and now to save my ass, and I'm not going to worry about the assets I give up in the future if I'm not
going to
be here.
If you meddle and you turn up the heat on your general manager, they're going to make moves for the now, which is not a situation the general manager should be in unless you're like in a position where you can compete for superstar or Super Bowls and you're less need. Like that's a time to win now, not when you're 4-12, not even whenever you're 9-7 and you're not really better than Kansas City. So the fact that Cal doesn't meddle and doesn't turn up the heat, I find it to be a positive. It has burned you, DeAndre Hopkins, but now that you have somebody competent at the job, and it might not even be by design. It might be a total coincidence, but I believe it is a positive from Cool Cat Cal. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, it's the Killer Bees, right? Killer Bees, blank, Brandon, Brendan. What are the best Bees of all time? It can literally mean anything, all-encompassing, names that start with B. Whatever you want it to be. What are the best Bees of all time? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What are the greatest all-time best Bees? It can be whatever you want it to mean. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Like for me, Brendan Hazza, one of my all-time favorite Bees at twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. What is on your all-time greatest Bees?
I don't think you finished that.
Ever. I don't know. I can't read that far.
Oh. I think there's a couple of things that, especially as a sports radio digesting male, I would think that there's a couple of them that come to mind.
Well, give me a couple of them.
Okay. BJ.
BJ Surhoff is one of my favorite Milwaukee Brewers of all time. I'm a big fan of BJ Surhoff. Also, BJ Armstrong. I'm so bad with the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
I thought that
might
come up.
What about Boobie Clark?
I prefer Boobie Miles. I believe he was a member of the Odessa Permian Panthers.
That's correct.
Boobie Gibson.
Boobie Gibson.
Boobie Gibson
Cavs.
Was on the Cavaliers team.
Yeah. Yeah. 713-780-ESPN.
What about Howard Stern's sidekick Boner?
Isn't he a boxer?
There's a Boner, too?
Adrian Bonner, I think is his
name. Oh, yeah. I'm going the other route.
Bonner.
But I think as a male, those three would qualify.
713-780-ESPN.
Or however many guys you name.
I was thinking like Beyonce. I was thinking like beer, barbecue. I didn't think we were going to talk about BJ Surhoff.
I think baseball and basketball have to factor in for you and I.
Baseball, basketball.
Yeah.
Those are good ones. 713-780-3776. Brendan, do
Blessings.
You have any? Blessings are good.
Yeah.
Good. That's very, yeah, you went from BJ Surhoff
to both sides of the spectrum for you.
I was so innocent when I was thinking about these, and then I started reading our audience's thoughts. I was like, yeah, I guess there's a lot of better things. I thought of basketball.
Basketball's good.
I thought of brownies.
Huh. Brownies wasn't on my B list. Was not on my B list.
I was trying to think of food, and I think people would probably go bacon, but I don't really care for bacon.
One thing that like can be associated with brownies, bacon's very good. Blunts, bongs, BK.
BK?
Yeah.
BK is definitely
Bunch
on the
of
list.
Bees there.
Everybody likes Burger King.
Bass fishing, says Cougar Blaze. 713-780-ESPN. I think Biggio Bagwell have to be on this list, right? Greatest Bees of all time. It can mean literally whatever you want it to mean. Beyonce, because we live in the city of Houston.
Right.
She's the queen bee. After all, so Beyonce has to be on the list. Beer, barbecue, bourbon, of course, gentleman bourbon. You can get it specifically at the tasting room in Alvin. Winner of the double Ascot Award winner. Bourbon's great. What is on your list? The best Bees of all time. 713-780-3776. How about bread?
No.
Like, there's the saying, as good as, like, it's the best thing since white bread. Like, if we have that saying, it's the best thing since sliced bread. My bad.
I've never heard the best thing since white bread.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, white bread's better than, like, grain bread or, like, wheat bread.
That sounded racist.
No, it didn't. White bread, it's very much a thing. But anyways,
right.
It's the greatest. Like, if something's the greatest thing since sliced bread, wouldn't bread have to be on the all-time great B list?
Bread's a really good one. Because bread feels like a lot of categories. You get a lot. Like, there's so many different types of bread, and they're all great. I think bread's towards the top of my list.
Oh, stop it.
See, I yeah.
Where does booty rank? Or butt?
I, I'm I'm more of a boob guy. They're also
okay. Well,
the
then there's another B for you.
Those seven, are also towards the top.
713.
Well, the boobs are definitely
ESPN.
Towards the top, and the button booty are definitely towards the bottom. Just if we're going to go anatomically correct, I'm just throwing that out there.
A lot of our listeners are very inappropriate. Stop texting us your inappropriate Bs of all time. 713-780-ESPN.
I wasn't prepared for that. I legitimately didn't think about that aspect. I was on the polar opposite side of Joel.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
I'm here for you.
I knew we'd get a lot of beer.
I knew it was coming. Boudin?
No.
You don't like Boudin? What's
not
wrong
like
with
you? Do you like salivate over it?
But it's great. Boudin's fantastic. Blue Bell.
That's a good one.
Blue Bell.
Boy, oh boy, and their creative flavors. Let me tell you.
What do you mean?
That is good ice cream. They could just the kind of combinations they come up with that aren't your just middle of the road like chocolate chip or whatever. Some of the Blue Bell creations they come up with are fantastic.
Breggy Bomb Salsa.
That's one of your favorites.
That's at the bottom of the all-time B list, if we're being completely honest. Boulevards. Boulevards of Bad Takes, which Cody Stutz, the mayor of. So there's another B. What are your all-time? Stop sending the inappropriate one. 713-780-3776. We have a Steelers fan. Juan says, Ben Brown Bettis.
That is the Steelers fan, Juan. He is in Colorado, still a Steelers fan. And that's fine if you are listening to Pittsburgh radio.
Yeah.
But those suggestions are fine if you're a Steelers fan.
Bo Jackson says 3300.
Oh, outstanding.
It's okay to be a fan of Bo Jackson, but not the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right, because of his athleticism on multiple sports.
Barry Bonds.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Double
He's the greatest baseball player of all time.
He cheated.
He's still the greatest baseball player of all time. The Babe, the great Bambino, is one of the greatest Bs.
Talk about a guy that,
time.
Well before his time, lived his best life.
The Bambino?
Yeah. Didn't worry about working out. Just was a he would get his drink on, he would get his fun time on, but he would get his home runs on, and he would pitch occasionally. He was like Ohtani from a different perspective way back in the day.
Pink Valkyrie says Batman and Blue Jays as her favorite beat.
Shocker.
Oh, Lamont saying that
she
I
said
set up,
Blue Jays.
Yeah, Blue Jays. Okay. Lamont saying I set up the segment wrong. No, I said the all time great bees. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. It's all encompassing. There is no wrong answer. Lamont would also go on to say Coco Beware. Does that count?
Nope.
Coco Beware?
Starts with a C.
It's a K.
Oh, it's a Coco with a K?
I believe it's Coco with a K.
Is
Not
it?
That it really matters.
Okay, well, either way,
I think
I'd
the wrestler's
no.
name, yeah, Coco Beware. Now I'm questioning myself, though.
See, me
My
too.
Confidence level went completely out. He says Billions, the show. You a fan of Billions, the show?
How about the letter grade B?
No, that's media. That's
well, it's passing, even in Texas.
Well, yeah. What do you mean even in Texas? A B
We've
passes
had a discussion
everywhere.
About the D the being a passing grade in Texas.
But not the B.
I mean, how can you not say just the killer bees in general?
Oh, Ocho. Yeah, right. No one said the killer bees. Like, yeah, how about
thanks,
that
guys.
For pandering to the
yeah,
talk show hosts
that.
That are That's, talking on your radio?
That starts with a K.
Oh. Brendan. See, this is why we are just the puppeteers.
We're just puppets.
Yeah.
So yeah just ask Andrew Carlson.
He's the brains of the operation.
Ah, mm-hmm.
3830 says the Bushes, a couple of former presidents. Precedences.
Think that was the reference being made?
2325. No, he did say. Yeah,
oh,
he did
okay.
say that. Actually, yes, I do think it is.
All right,
because he clarified. 2325. Bobby Boucher. Ah,
would you like some high quality H2O?
Are there any characters that come to mind
of
TV shows or movies or whatever?
I didn't really think Batman. Batman was somebody that we've gotten from several people.
Pink Valkyrie.
713-780-3776.
Would you like a piece of pie?
How about the Beatles?
I mean, that's pretty old school, but yeah. I mean, they're
one of
legendary.
The greatest bands ever.
Yeah, they're legendary.
The Bee Gees.
Ooh, quality.
If we're keeping it in the
Brendan's
music.
Favorite bump music. The
how
Bee
about,
Gees.
How about Bumblebees? How do we feel about Bumblebees? Bunby?
Yeah.
You know any of his
Houston
music?
Legend?
Yeah, Bunby. Yeah, or how about Bad Bunny?
Burgers and baseball hats now, too, for Bun B, as he expands
so
his portfolio.
713-780-3776. What are your all-time great Bs? Somebody said Betty White. Well, Betty White came before sliced bread, so I'd go with Betty White over the bread.
That's a good call.
That's not so bad. Somebody said belching.
Nah.
That's not very high on, like, the things I love to do. Like, I mean, it happens, obviously.
On a scale between belch and fart, which one wins?
I mean, whichever human nature is taking its course
no,
at that moment.
Far more enjoyment out of breaking some wind.
Wouldn't both be considered that?
I think that you know what I'm talking about, whereas if I said, I don't think if I said breaking some wind, people think burp.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes with an open mic, right? 0441, yeah. Do boats and count as one?
Boats?
Yeah, boats and.
Oh.
Yeah. Does that count as one?
They're all B's, right?
Sure.
Not the second part.
Oh.
No, not the second part. biscuits. Biscuits as the all-time greatest B's.
No.
You don't like biscuits?
That goes there's a difference between liking them and putting them in the all-time great. Like Brendan's obsession with white bread was a little bit, and bread in general going way up the chart.
I think people love bread, though. People love bread.
I mean, it's a carb that most people really could kill for,
You get it on a cheeseburger, you get it on a nice little sandwich. I mean, bread's on everything.
Now, aside from the sausage tours when we were a kid that were very disturbing, if we went to the Wonder Bread factory and each kid that went on the field trip and on the tour got a free right out of the oven loaf of Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you something.
Sounds like you love white bread.
That warm bread as a kid. And then as kids would do, you could actually, it was so warm and fresh, you could ball it up into a ball of bread and still eat it. But it was a very popular thing.
The underrated part of bread is, as you guys were both kind of pointing out, the diversity of it. It's used for so many different things and comes in so many different forms. And I had to think of a food, right? Like, I was probably going to go with the food one way or the other. And sure. I think bread is maybe the number one B.
Over beef?
I would go brisket. Beef, obviously, is more diverse there, too.
Beef, brisket, barbecue?
Yeah, it's obviously more diverse.
Yeah, for sure.
Give me all of those over bread.
I completely agree with all of
them.
Buffalo wings?
Beignets? No, I'm out on that.
Beignets are fine. I'm not picking beignets over boudin, buffalo wings, barbecue, brisket. How come everybody's saying Bambino, but nobody's saying Brady? Like, I mean, we're disrespecting the greatest football resume of all time.
What about Breggy?
Yeah. Well, we said Breggy bomb salsa.
But, right, just say Breggy as in third baseman for your Astros.
Bagwell, Biggio, Breggy, Derek Bell, does he belong on that list?
Berkman?
Somebody said Bunnies.
Don't forget Berkman.
Somebody said Brad Lidge. Not getting Brady. We're not getting Bregman.
Barry Sanders, someone that Brendan has never seen play.
That's pretty good. Breaking Bad. That's a great show.
He pitched in the celebrity softball game, and Hunter Pence took him deep twice.
Oh, Rusty from Friendswood's not being very nice with Brandon Backey. He said, Brandon Backey, wait, you said greatest bees.
That's
very
nice.
He came in and joined the wheelhouse the other day.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Bottled beer, Billy Madison. That one I'm not going to read on the air. 713-780-3776. What are the best B's of all time? All right, Astros. It's not really the halfway point, but it's the halfway point. The All-Star game tonight. What are our Astros halfway grades for the local nine? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Gold Belly? Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect Valentine's gift. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So, if you're looking for a Valentine's Day gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.